at least I know this, I'm saved. And if I'm saved, I'm going to go be with Jesus. So that means I win regardless of what's happening. God's going to see me through this because I'm one of his own. He ain't never backed out. He said, look, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm coming back to get you. So where I'm at, you're going to be there too. So you can hold that as a hope, an everlasting hope that you have in your soul. Hey, one day I'm going to see Jesus. I don't care how hard it get down here. I know this ain't going to be always. All right? But let's go back to verse number one. Because this is an understood subject is you and me. And if he tell you not to do something, that means you have the power to do it. You can't say, well, I just can't do that. Yeah, you can. Because he gives the grace wherever he gives a command. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. It's what the Amplified says. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on me. So you have to trust God, begin to rely on him. And everybody, you need to say it. You need to say, Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I'm dependent on you. Lord, I'm relying on you. My faith is in you. Yeah. When you do that, and then you make a declaration, I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I refuse to have a troubled heart. I may not know what to do in my situation, but I know what I'm not going to do. See, sometimes just knowing what you're not going to do is enough to get you over to the victory. I know I'm not going to worry. I know I'm not going to let fear in. I know I'm not going to stay up at night worrying about this here. I know these things. Now, I may not know what else I'm going to do, but I know what I'm not going to do. I know I'm going to trust God. I had someone ask me one time when I was in a situation that looked like it had no doors, like I was boxed in, just nowhere to go. And somebody asked me, now tell me, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have nothing. You got nowhere to go. And I sat there without a troubled heart about my situation. And I said, I am going to trust God. I'm going to trust God.
Amen.
That's what you have to do.
Amen.
You have to say, Lord, I trust you. You're going to see me through this. You're going to make a way for me. You love me greatly. Amen. And you got to know that God loves you no matter what you're going through. He ain't ever going to back out on you. He's not going to back down. He's not going to let go of you. He will not relax his hold upon you. He loves you. And he's fighting for you and he's fighting with you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. I will obey this command. Jesus, you said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what I endeavor to do from this moment forward. I will not let my heart be troubled. Praise God. How many of y'all would join with me and say, Pastor Greg, I've heard the word, and I'm in agreement with that. Yes. Hallelujah. All right, let's all say this together. Heavenly Father, I've heard your word. You've ministered to me so clearly, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for the revelation that's imparted to me. In Jesus' name, I receive it. I receive the instruction to not let my heart be troubled, to not let it be fearful, agitated, worried, or frustrated. I make a decisive dedication and commitment right now, right where I am, to trust you with all my heart, not to lean to my own understanding, but in all my ways, I will acknowledge you, I will bless you, I will praise you, I will seek you. I will rejoice in you. I will be confident in you. But I will not fear. And I will not be troubled. I thank you, Lord, that you're supplying to me your peace your joy,
your faith,
everything I need.
Your grace
is sufficient for me.
And I give you the glory,
and I give you the praise.
I will rejoice in you.
I will be glad.
I'm going to let patience work.
I'm going to walk in love,
and I'm going to be a blessing.
Thank you for the grace to do this.
I receive
the abundance of grace
and the abundance of peace
right now
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Glory to God.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Somebody give the Lord another hand of praise. We ought to be mighty grateful for all the Lord has done for us. How he has blessed us and kept us. Brought us and never left us. For that we ought to say hallelujah. The song says, hallelujah, he's an answering God. And if you don't believe he's an answering God, I don't want you to sing with me this morning. Because I need some believers, some witnesses who can say hallelujah from experience, who's been in some things that they never would have made it out if it hadn't been for the Lord.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'm talking about some people who, when the doctor said, you won't, the Lord said, you will. I'm talking about some breast cancer survivors and other cancer survivors and life cancer survivors. I'm just talking about somebody who's been beat down, broken up, misused and abused, and God stepped in and turned the situation around. I'm talking about when you were on the bottom and God flipped the script and put you on top. I'm talking about when you were going and didn't know where you were going, and he got in the front of you and led you and said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man coming to the Father. But that's the kind of folk I want to sing hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. prayed and I prayed in Jesus' name. And you know what happened? And then, oh, hallelujah, 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 he's an answer. One more time, come on. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you need him to take you through. Come on, say it with me. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. My God is. I don't know about you, but I prayed and I prayed and I prayed in Jesus' name. Right then, my answer came. I want to say hallelujah. I got to say hallelujah. I need to say hallelujah. He's an answering ring. God. Amen, amen. I believe that was for somebody other than myself today. Hallelujah. 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 Sometime all by yourself. Hallelujah. He's an answer. Ring God. Hallelujah. I want to try to complete a message I started this morning entitled God is working on your tomorrows today. God is working on your tomorrows today. Isaiah chapter 45. And I just want to pick up verse 4. And then we'll walk back through as we're given liberty. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 4 says, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in God's presence. The fact that Isaiah records that God says at the end of verse 4, though thou hast not known me, is very, very special.
Because if you read verses 1, 2, and 3, you will discover that those are shouting verses. But if you read verse 4, it's a sobering verse. It puts things in place. It helps you to understand the mind of God, the purpose of God, and how God is able to use whomever He chooses, whether they are saved or not saved, whether they are His chosen people or not, whether they are holy or hellish. God is no respecter of persons, but whom God loves, He loves. And He does some pretty spectacular things for those whom He loves. And so when we begin to look at this word and we understand that if we would back up, because He says, though thou hast not known me, that literally means you don't know me yet. It doesn't mean like the old song said, if you don't know me by now, you will never ever know me. It just literally means you don't know me yet. Because if you keep on reading the verses, you're going to discover he gets to know and love the Lord, and he does what God wants him to do. But if you back up to verse 1, you'll see that this is God speaking to Isaiah about a prophecy that he makes some 200 years or so before this man by the name of Cyrus is even born, before he's ever thought of in the earth realm. God chose him as a pagan king to lead Israel into deliverance and to bless them and to restore them. And because he decided to use this pagan king, he did some mighty wonderful things for him because of Israel. Now listen to this, because he starts off verse 1. He says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed. Then he makes clear who he's talking to. To Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, which literally meant that he has strengthened his right hand. He has given him power. He's given him the victory. What for? To subdue nations before him. And I will, he goes on to say, I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Now he moves on from this prophecy and preferencing Cyrus 200 years before he even gets on the scene. And from this we can also understand how God has the ability, before tomorrow gets here, to already work things out. For those of us who worry about our future and worry about our tomorrows, God wants us to understand that he's already working on our tomorrows today. Believers don't have to go around worrying and wondering and crying and disbelieving the power of God. God sees things so far in advance that he's already worked them out before you ever got here. While you're trying to figure it out, he's already worked it out. You've just got to trust him and believe him and know. Now listen, before Cyrus is ever born, look at what verse 2 says. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight.
Listen, this is prescribed protection he's talking about now. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now, what is he talking about? The gates of Babylon were so great and so enormous. If you remember the movie Jurassic Park and those large, large gates that opened its way to the prehistoric times, and those gates were so massive, you could only imagine what was behind them. Babylon was such a great nation. When folks saw the gates of Babylon, they trembled at the power of Babylon. Babylon had conquered many nations and had many nations under their belt. And behind those two-leaved gates, they had three bars that would go across the width of the gates so that people could not ransack the gate, could not break through the gate, because they had pure iron bars running through them. And God says, I will break in pieces, listen, the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now to God, he's saying, all that seems impossible for man is nothing to me. I will handle that for you. Now because he told him, I have holden thee, what Cyrus would come to understand was, while God used him, it was God doing it for him. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Now this is promised prosperity. Well, what good is deliverance and you ain't got nothing once you're delivered? When God delivers you, he wants you to live delivered. He wants you to live free. He wants you to live blessed. He wants you to have what the devil stole from you and seven times more. He wants people to know when they look at you that you are highly favored of the Lord. You are blessed. God is fighting your battles. God is providing for your needs. That God gets the glory and you get the good. So he says, with your deliverance, you need some gold, silver stuff. So listen to what he's going to do. I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Well, these are treasures that were taken from other nations that were defeated conquests and all of those things, and innocent nations and smaller nations and all of these that had been stacked and stored. And then the king took the best of those gifts and all of those treasures and hid those riches in secret places. Only very few ever knew where those riches were. And God says, not only am I going to bless you with provisional needs, I'm going to show you where the good stuff is. Now, what does that mean today? That means today when folk are messing with you and God's got something for you, he'll show you just how to get it. He'll show you some government programs that nobody else know about that you know about. He'll show you where it's buried out in the backyard, underneath a mattress, in a shoe, in a sock, wrapped up in a box. He'll show you in a coffee can, hiding underneath the flour. He'll show you where the riches are hidden and you wasn't even looking for them. Why? Because he said, I will give to thee. I'm just going to bless you with this. Listen. But he says, why? That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God, listen now, of Israel. Listen to what God is saying. I'm doing all that I'm doing for you, that you may know, Cyrus, listen, that I, the Lord, I am the God of Israel. Now, he goes on and he says in verse
4. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect. Now he puts in perspective, this is preemptive purpose, he puts in perspective the fact that I wasn't doing this for you, Cyrus. I was doing this through you. I was doing this for my people. Jacob the patriarch, the one I promised I would do this to and for. And Israel, mine elect, which means the people of my choice, my choosing. And when he says elect or choosing or choice, it meant there were others he could have chosen. But out of all the others, he chose little Israel. And you've got to understand that Israel was not that grand and glorious of its own. But it's because God attached his love to Israel, Israel became all of that. My brothers and sisters, we're not all of that in and of ourselves. I know that didn't just shatter somebody's self-esteem right now. You don't think you, no, you think you all of that and a bag of chip and popcorn and all of that stuff that go with that. But without God, you are not all of that. It's good to have a healthy self-image, but can I tell you, without God, you are nothing. You can do nothing worth anything. And it's only because of God that you're able to do whatever it is you're able to do, because he loves and favors you. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect. Everything I've done for them. Don't get it twisted. You don't even know me. I knew you before that was a you, but you don't even know me. Now later he gets to know God and goes into an intimate relationship with him, but at this point he doesn't know God, and yet God has used him for the glory of his and for the good of his people. Now listen at this, and I'm gonna come back to this. He says, I have even called thee by thy name. What is he telling Cyrus? Cyrus, before your daddy, your granddaddy, your grand-granddaddy, your grand-grand-granddaddy, before your great-great-great-granddaddy, and on ever knew that would be a you, I knew that would be a you, and I named you myself. You didn't just happen here. I brought you here. I had a special, specific time for you to arrive here. And when you got here, I had a purpose for you here. And it was for my glory and the good of my people. So don't think that this is about you. It's about my people. But then look at what he goes on to say. I have surnamed thee. Wait a minute. I have even called thee by thy name. That's Cyrus. Yeah. But then he says, I have surnamed thee. Now, what's that about? Well, when you surname someone, the essence of it here in this verse references respect and honor. Well, now he started off, if you will, in verse 1 saying, thus saith the Lord to his anointed. That should have been good enough. But because he was anointed and appointed to an assignment that God had prescribed for him some 200 plus years ago, God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you take out the big bad Babylon. And he calls Cyrus to take out the bully who took out the others. And how many of you know if you hurt the bully, the buddies back up?